Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman, along with my co-host, Mitch Glenn.
Hey, that's right. Brad. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, you've only been gone for a few shows.
Yeah, a few dozen.
A few dozen.
Seems like people like to have their tackle to fish with. Somebody's got to make that stuff.
Pico lures, man.
People are buying it. I tell you what, boy, it is on fire.
Man, we are so lucky to have this special guest. We're right here on the shoreline of Beaver Lake, on the White River side of it. But that's not what we're going to talk about today, are we, Mitch?
No. Some rivers are better than other rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Smallmouth fishing.
Smallmouth.
I'd agree
with you. Big old, beautiful, pretty smallmouth.
Yeah.
Although there is a faction of people that actually like the catfishing over there, too.
That's true.
Yeah, there's some dandy catfish.
There is. There's some big old channels and flats down that lower end.
Yep. Folks, this week we got Doug, the Riverman Allen, here with us. He is all things Kings River. Yep. If you don't know where Kings River is, it is a semi-famous smallmouth fishery. Because I talked to a guy one time in northern Oregon that had never heard of it. But other than that, it's pretty famous.
Yeah, it's one of the lesser known rivers in Arkansas, but you know, the focus is on the buffalo, but the Kings River it rivals it in fishing and beauty.
Always has, yep.
So tell us a little bit about your background, because we happen to know that you wrote a book.
Sure. Yeah.
And so that's the big draw, I thought, to have you on the show was, here's someone who's local and has written a book, and I was like, we got to have him on the show so he can talk about the Kings River, maybe talk about some conservation on the Kings River and some things people can do when they're fishing on the Kings River, maybe some fishing tips, because Mitch and I are not too old to get fishing tips.
Right. So. I was pretty much raised on the Kings River. I grew up in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and I was only just a mile or mile and a half away from the Kings River, so I spent a lot of my childhood on the river.
Oh, that's terrible.
It was terrible. My earliest memory, and this is a true story, is my dad. I came from a family of biologists. My dad was a microbiologist. My uncle was a marine biologist, so we all, fishing and stuff like that was always a part of, and nature was always a part of what we did. But he took me down to the Kings River the first time. I think I must have been 3-4 years old. And, of course, my dad and his cutoff jeans, he's got his fishing pole. He's got his crawdad bucket after mom had caught crawdads. And he's heading down the river. So what do? So I start following him.
Yeah.
So, he's probably an eighth of a mile away down this Kills Creek, heading toward the river. And I followed him because that was my dad, man. He was the coolest thing ever. He had a fishing pole. He had a bucket of crawdads, and by God, I was going to follow him.
Right.
So I followed him, and I actually stepped off into a hole, a deep hole. I didn't realize it and stepped in. I was wading through the water. Then all of a sudden, I was under it.
Yeah.
And to this day, I still can imagine and see the fish in the clear water swimming in front of my face. And I just sat there, I don't know if I was in shock or whatever, but I just sat there and I watched those fish and everything got darker and darker. And the next thing I know, luckily my mom was screaming at my dad down the river because she saw what happened. Of course, my dad ran and he picked me out of the water, out of the hole. And the next thing I knew, I was on top of the truck and he was, getting water out of probably every hole in my body. And of course, mom was giving him some choice words about nearly, drowning her only son. So that was my first experience of the Kings River. And I've always had some kind of attachment. I always think back to that day of being a part of that river and almost, almost drowned in it and almost died in it. And I still, I have a house that's not a stone's throw away from that very spot today.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's a real special, special place. So that's where I got my beginnings of the Kings River. So, of course, we fished it, dad being the fisherman and my mom being the world's greatest barehanded crawdad catcher.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, we had a lot of fishing trips, a lot of fun over all the stretches of that river.
Right.
Yep. Just a big part of what I am.
So tell us a little bit about the Kings River. How far does it run, and is there some places where you can take out and put in?
Sure. There's, it's a 90-mile stretch of river. Of course, it starts up in the Boston Mountains, you know, same place, the Buffalo, the Mulberry, the Illinois, all those, they start within 5 mile radius of each other, believe it or not. So, you know, it begins in Marble. There's an access point there at Marble.
Uh-huh.
It's a public access, and you can go from Marble to Marshall Ford, which is another access, and then Marshall Ford to Rock House, and then Rock House to Trigger Gap to 62, 62 to Stony Point all the way into Missouri to the 86 Bridge.
Right.
So it's 90 miles of floating fun, I tell you. And the upper Kings is, that's the real beautiful part of the Kings. You have these huge bluffs that just rival the bluffs of the Buffalo for sure.
Right.
It's just stunning. A lot. I don't think a lot of people know that. You can only float at a certain time of year.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it gets pretty shallow, but it's absolutely stunning float. And the rest of it's kind of riparian. And, of course, when it gets down to the lake, it gets a lot deeper. And so you get into a little bit different fishing when you're down on that lower end. I call it the J.D. Fletcher stretch.
Yeah.
It's a
lot slower moving.
Yeah, a lot slower moving. Yep.
Yep.
You probably had some experience with J.D., did you not,
Mitch? I have.
Yep.
Legend.
Legend.
Absolute legend. Yeah. Sure
and
is.
Probably the reason he liked that stretch of river so much is because it was so slow moving.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to guide people on it, that you need slow moving.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Plus there's not a fish down there that didn't know the bottom of his boat.
That's, that's a fact. You know,
they knew when to behave when JD came down through there.
He had those flat bottom John boats, you know, and he—that was his specialty. And I think he even when he started, they were made out of wood.
Yeah,
you know, and
he's
then,
actually been around that long.
Right, he's been around that long, but definitely, you know, he's a legend for sure. Bud Stoppel is another Kings River legend. That actually he guided for Bud for a JD for a while.
Right,
and there, you know, there's several different legends of the Kings River for sure.
Is there a section of that river that's a blue ribbon? Blue ribbon, right?
There is from Trigger Gap area down to the 62 Bridge.
And tell them what that means. What does that really mean?
Well, you know, it's they only allow one fish to be kept, and it has to be above 18 inches.
Smallmouth,
of course, the king of the kings.
Right.
And it's a great, beautiful stretch. Holds big fish, and we're fortunate to have. The great waters just, you know, up and down that Kings. I mean, that's a blue ribbon stretch, but the whole Kings is amazing for fishing and big fish.
Right.
Yep.
It should all be a blue ribbon.
You know, I agree
with
that.
It should be a blue ribbon river.
I inquired about that a few years ago with Ernie Kilman up at the Kings River Outfitters. And kind of put some feelers out about, you know, being a catch and release river. And, whew, boy. I didn't realize the people would be against that. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
So well, in this day and age, everybody has two or three kayaks in the back of their truck.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
It's just so much more accessible.
Yep. You know, the invention of the plastic kayak has really made, you know.
It's turned into a different place.
Yep. Sure has.
So what is your choice of vessels?
My vessels, there? It's a kayak for sure.
Kayak?
A sit on top.
Yeah.
You know,
sit on top.
You know, I started out in a flat bottom aluminum boat with my dad, and you know, it's been a few years, but I bought my first kayak and sit on top, and I doubt I ever go back to a canoe again.
Right.
You know, no. It's just so comfortable.
Or a flat bottom.
You know, like we're sitting here. You know, I can get up out of the kayak so easy instead of having to climb out and worry about tipping over. The stability of the kayaks, the ease of turning and
fact that they float in that much water.
And you can just,
I've waded a lot of miles up and down Kings River with a 12-foot flat bottom tied to my waist.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I have too.
Woo, mercy.
Puddle jumping sometimes, you know.
Well, I mean, we'll use this book here because this is kind of a reference inside here. You have a lot of information, The Riverman's Guide to the Kings River.
Yeah.
So this is your new book
that
just came out. You did some signing.
Yeah, I had
a
book signing.
You have to make sure Mitch didn't sign
week.
It. Oh, look, Mitch Glenn.
Sign it. I just want to read it.
So inside this guide that's right here, tell us what's inside this guide?
It's a little bit of everything about the Kings River. There's history in there.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, there's There's writing about the legends of the Kings River, J.D. Fletcher, Bud Stoppel, Pat Hanby, who had an interesting way of fishing with what looks like a paddle and a string. Super right. interesting way he caught fish on the Kings. A little bit about Joe Head, the whistling mailman in Eureka Springs, who was a Kings River legend.
Right.
And, you know, it's got maps of each section of the river, and it describes the put-in. So uh-huh. you know how difficult or easy it is to put in the river.
Right.
And then, of course, it lists the fish of the Kings. You know, of course, the king of the Kings, the smallmouth bass. I think that's focused most of all. But there's also another fish in there. It's one of my favorite fish. It's the Ozark bass.
Ozark yes. bass.
Yep. And a lot of people mistake it for they call it a rock bass
or a goggle eye. I know.
Right. Yep. But, you know, that Ozark bass is only found in this part of the country in the White River Basin,
right,
which is
right.
really neat. And it's one of my favorite fish to catch. You know, it used to irritate us as kids. You know, we putting a crawdad on, and that Ozark bass, just like a rock bass, has this huge mouth.
Yep.
And it would steal it right in front of those small mouth. But just a fantastic fish to catch. So I described the fish of the Kings, of course, the right. legends, the maps, history. There's some photos of some of the old bridges.
Okay.
Of the Kings River. So it's just full of information.
So Mitch has fished on it, but we don't care about him right now. We're going to ask you, what's your favorite lure for catching smallmouth? And then we'll let him butt in.
Sure. You know, it depends on what I'm going after.
Let's say smallmouth. Let's just get to the meat of it.
Yeah, let's just go to the meat of it. You know, the green lizard.
Green lizard?
Probably my favorite.
Uh-huh.
In Texas rigging a green lizard with some flake in it, a little bit of sparkle in it, maybe some right. red or maybe some little black flake in it.
So a soft plastic lizard,
yeah.
On a EYG, what kind of hook is that are you using? Straight shank?
Just a straight shank.
Uh-huh.
And just Texas rig it with a bullet weight, depending on the level of the river. And that's probably my go-to for just catching a lot of smallmouth of all ranges, from small to even a big smallmouth. You know, if the water's low, like tonight, I'll probably use a 3-inch. You know, when the water's up, I'm probably 6-inch lizard. So that's probably my go-to. Now, if I'm going for big smallmouth, I use a jig and crawl.
Okay.
Which I'd use a bitsy jig with a crawdad tail on it.
Okay.
Yeah, soft plastic. So that's probably my go-to for the big fish.
Yeah. Mitch, what do you think?
What do I think?
What would you use?
I would take me an 1/8-ounce football head with a standard Aberdeen hook in it.
Right.
And I'd rig that with a green pumpkin cream speed screamer.
Okay. Good choice.
That would be my bottom bouncer. My top water would be a little pop.
Right.
And probably I'd probably have a frog pattern and a shad pattern both on.
Yeah.
Depending on what part of the river there's some places where you need a frog pattern on that river.
Yeah.
And then I would not go over there without a crawdad colored square bill.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Those are very, very effective.
Everybody overlooks the bottom side of the top of the pool, the bottom of the riffle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can spin that kayak around and beach it right there and throw and usually catch 10 or 12 smallmouth right there and nothing of water.
Oh, yeah. You know, the early morning hit on the top water.
Oh, man,
is unbelievable. This time of year, too, you know, I guess they're sitting on the banks right now. I guess there's another perch spawn or something like that. And you throw it within 6 inches of the bank with some kind of top water, some kind of broken back or some kind of minnow or maybe a whopper plopper or something like that. It's just on. Spotted bass seem to hit this time of year a little more.
They're more aggressive, I think.
Yeah.
They are. They're trying to compete with that rock bass, Ozark bass.
Yeah.
That's the only thing they can compete with.
Oh, man, those little bait stealers, I tell you.
Yep.
So I'm going to break, and I'm going to say what you want to do is go over there on a cloudy day and you want to get one of the big Pico pops, the big one, and you want to get the black one, black silver, that has a green tail to it.
Okay.
And that's what you want to throw. J.D. Fletcher used to throw a black buzzbait.
Yes,
I throw
he
that
did.
Big black popper.
J.D.
And then I
would black buzzbait, dude.
I would throw a 16th ounce, one of our 16th ounce round ball head jig with a little 6-inch cream, a scoundrel. worm on it. And as the day went, I would just keep taking that worm littler and littler and littler. And by the end of the day, it might just be like about that big.
I was gonna bring up the Ned rig, but you know, that's such a
I just hate to see people catch that many fish.
You know, I hate that. But it works.
Yeah,
I do that just because you can catch a lot of fish. But I think you have to, like, everyone's throwing it. I'm looking to target stuff that are a little harder cast, skip that's underneath the trees, the stuff like that, right, where not everyone is. And I'm also throwing it on 8 or 10 pound test because I don't want to leave my line broke on a branch or something, so there isn't garbage there. You know, I'm not littering. I'm not leaving hooks. I'm not leaving stuff. Yeah.
Right.
So, and then the other thing is like just power fishing. I'll be pitching something that's on 20 pound test, and I bring them in.
Yeah.
So I do not fool around with them because it's better. It's with current. It's better, I think, for the fish. Get them in and release them
as
quick as you can. Yeah, so take your picture and let them go.
I'm a big catch and release guy, and I think that's important for that river for sure.
It absolutely is. There's plenty of eating fish in that river too, though.
Agreed.
In the spring, in the spring, the white bass run up that thing.
Yes, sir. Yeah. They'll run up as far as 62 Bridge.
They
will.
Oh, I've caught them all the way up to what's the first
Trigger Gap, Rock House up there.
Yep, I've caught them all the way up there. Wow. When the water's up, they will stack.
Yeah.
Right below that.
We caught
stand on the bank until you just sweat.
Wow.
Catching them.
we were kind of stunned this year. We actually caught 2 walleye up above the 62 Bridge.
Oh,
and that was the first time I had ever experienced that in, you know.
Well, the lake was high this year.
Yes.
They will go all the way to that new boat ramp that they built about, I don't know, it's about a mile and a half above 62 Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember what it's called. It's
the McMullen Farm access up there. Yeah.
They will run right up to that.
Yeah.
And there's some big, giant boulders right down there just below it.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Oh, man, that's exactly where we caught them. There were some huge boulders.
Yep,
And believe it or not, we caught it on a Ned rig. So
when I
take clients down the river and I'm guiding them, they, you know, when it gets a little tough, we throw on that Ned rig. And just, you know, that's the just-in-case go-to, you know, when it gets a little tough.
Little cool thing you can remember about that little spot right there, that's a channel cat spawning grounds.
Too. Is that right?
Take you a cast net because they get really, really picky about what they're eating.
And
get over on one of them mud bars and catch them little shore minnows about that big.
Uh-huh.
And them catfish start – you can – when it clears up some, you can actually see white flash every now and then around them rocks when they get in there spawning.
I'll be darned.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that river, we used to have a ton of catfish in there. And over the years, you know, we've had some infill with gravel and stuff like that. And, you know, the Nature Conservancy is working on it as we speak to keep some of that gravel from going in there.
Right.
And hopefully we'll be able to channel that out and then have more catfish, you know, in the next few years.
Now, you talked about the influx of water. Is there something in the book that they could look and they could see about the water, the height of the water?
Yeah, if you want to check the water level, that's at waterweather.gov.
Uh-huh.
And just search Kings River, and you can find out the level of the river. And if you use this book, it'll tell you, you know, in the maps, what a safe level is to do
what's floatable.
There's levels that, you know, it's it looks like a meandering, small, calm little river, but it can become a raging torrent. So it's real important that you recognize the levels to float at and know what you're up against.
Absolutely.
Because it can get dangerous fast.
Something else in your book, it talks about crayfish in this book, and it's time for tackle time. And look what Mitch has in his hand.
Just so happens I have a Kings River special right here.
It looks like it.
That could be a crawdad. That could be a rock. Well, if it had red eyes on it, we'd call it Ozark bass, baby. Yeah. This right here is forage to a bass. And I mean, an amazing thing happens in the fall everywhere, but the Kings River fish live that way year round. In the fall of the year, once you get that first really hard cold snap, every crawdad on the bank heads to the lake. And they're going in there because they're not going to freeze to death there, and they will on the bank. So they all, that's where they hibernate, spend their winter in the water. So when that, the fish aren't stupid. They know all them crawdads, it's like a buffet coming to them. Plus, all them little old bluegill and perch and stuff that are living up there by that shore, they all look a little bit like that too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to do a match the hatch, fish fast, hard, and catch a lot of fish, that little square bill right there is just what you need. Runs about 3 foot deep if you can throw it a long ways.
I have no doubt in my mind that that would be a smallmouth bass killer.
That is a king's, that is a river, yeah. Smallmouth river
absolutely,
bait. Right?
Absolutely.
I'm thinking he's leaving with that.
I bet he is.
The
bet
possibility
he does.
It might not be on that table.
I know a guy.
the only person that shorts is because we're at my house.
Yeah.
Yeah, may not end up good
I'll give
for
him
me.
Your baits. So that's yeah. No problem.
I'll trade you a book for the bait.
All right, there you go. You're on.
If you want to check out more about Pico Lures, you can go to picolures.com. And then our other sponsor is Smith Consumer Products. And this week we're talking about the pliers and the scissors. This is kind of this is a combo that they have. It comes with a little sheath, and the scissors are inside there. They're real sharp. They'll cut braided line. And then they also have pliers inside there. Something, two things that are not rusted, so they obviously have not been in Mitch's boat.
But it comes in a Kydex holster, too. And you know, anything that comes with a Kydex holster has got to be cool.
So you can find out more about these products, Smith Consumer Products, at smithproducts.com. And that takes us up to your book, because I know that people want to find this book. They want to buy it. Maybe get an autographed copy
of
it.
They can, absolutely. I'll definitely sign it for them. They can find that book on my website, kingsriverarkansas.com.
Okay.
And they can get a signed copy that way. Or if they're out of state and they want one pretty fast, they can. It's on Amazon as well, so they can get it in a couple 3 days. This might take 4 or 5 days through me. But right. So Amazon and my website, KingsRiverArkansas.com, you can get an access of the book.
Man, that's just awesome. Make sure you got to go and get one of these. Even if you're not fishing the Kings River, it has a lot of great information. Ozark streams are very unique, clean water, have smallmouth in them, big smallmouth. So yeah. Check them out there. And we're going to end with what I always end with. Make sure you keep your hooks sharp and your lures in the water.